blogs it. He breathes it. He lives it. He does live stand-ups talking about Microsoft. He spends hours recording webinars and recording videos explaining Microsoft so we don't have to. He's the only guy in Australia that can relate Office 365 tech to the masses. And most of all, he's a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional. This is the Need to Know podcast featuring Office 365, Azure, the cloud, business productivity, and more. From CIA Ops, this is your host, Robert Crane.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. My name is Robert Crane, and you've joined me for episode 93 featuring Amy Babinczyk. Amy and I talk about Azure for SMB resellers. We dive deep into the product. We have a look at the best way for SMB resellers to start using Azure themselves and also some opportunities to convert that into revenue and products and services for clients. So if you're an SMB reseller and you're looking for information and looking to understand Azure and how you can make revenue from it, I think this would be a great episode to tune in on. So again, we get some great insight from Amy and the things that she is doing successfully to basically bring in revenue using the new Microsoft Azure product. The other thing I'll mention here, obviously, is a huge vote of thanks to Mark Keane, who was recently on the podcast. He's taken to adding a new beginning and an end, certainly up the energy on the podcast, I think. He's also now looking to do the production of the podcast, so hopefully the sound quality and the way it all fits together is much better. Again, thanks to Mark, and again, we'll get him back on the podcast very shortly to share his knowledge around Azure and also PowerShell. But again, please provide, let me know the feedback, good, bad. If the things that can be improved, we can certainly do that. But again, don't be shy about getting in contact with me. So some other news in the Office 365 world is the Skype for Business Basic program has been made available. So it's a free download from Microsoft. You can basically put that on a machine and then you can connect up to Skype for Business. So rather than having to have the full Skype client, which generally comes with the Office suite, you can now download the standalone basic Skype for Business clients that you can put on your PC and allow you to connect to Skype Skype for Business and obviously do the basic stuff you need to do. So again, nice to have a standalone installer, and I'll put the links for all this information up on the blog post that accompanies this podcast. The other thing that's happened for Skype for Business is that there is now a dedicated iOS app. So if you have an Apple device, you can download from the iTunes store a dedicated Skype for Business app and start using it. Download it, use it quite well. I think it works very, very well. So if you have an Apple device, certainly get into it and have a look at that new updated Skype for Business iOS app. One of the new features that has come in preview to Azure AD is the AD domain services. So again, very much worth looking at. It's an indication of the trend to Azure AD to be far more functional, and they're becoming, you know, more and more reasons to look at that as a very serious option when compared to on-premise AD. So the functionality that Azure AD is now providing is getting closer and closer to the full functionality that the on-premise AD has been able to provide. So again, have a look at it. It's in preview. See what functions it can do, and remember that that's only going to improve down the track. Now, another thing that I'll call out here is an app that Microsoft has put out it's been out for a while now and really should go on all your devices and any customers that you work with as well. It's called Office Lens. It's available on all platforms. And basically what it allows you to do is to take a picture of a document, a whiteboard, and now a business card, and basically scan the information in there, convert it into text or can make it searchable, and then save it into OneNote, for example, or convert it to a document and then upload that document to OneDrive Consumer, or now OneDrive in OneDrive for Business in Office 365. So again, I put the link to the blog post there. If you haven't looked at Office Lens, I'd suggest you go and download it as soon as you can. Put it on your mobile device, have a play with it. It's hugely functional, really, really handy app, and I think it's a must-have on any mobile device. The other thing that I'll call out again is the new OneDrive for Business Sync client is in preview. I've been using that, haven't had any issues, seems to be working quite well. Microsoft again have committed to having the full version available towards the end of the year. Hopefully it'll be in November and we'll get the full client, and then we'll really be able to use much more of the functionality of the Office 365, and especially the the OneDrive product, which so many people are looking to use as a potential replacement for Dropbox or Google Drive or that sort of stuff. So again, keep your eyes on that. Again, at the moment, currently in preview, I'll put the links up there if you want to have a play with it, but keep your eye on that. We expect to see the completed version available very shortly. Now, with that, before we get into the podcast again, I would invite you to connect with me using Skype for Business. You can do that via my Skype for Business address, which is admin@ciaops365.com. Don't forget those iTunes reviews about what you think of the podcast. Let us know. Again, helps the rankings for the episodes. Don't forget, always on the lookout for co-presenters or guests. If you've got a suggestion for someone you'd like to hear or even a topic you'd like to hear, more PowerShell, more Azure, more Office 365, whatever, please don't hesitate to get in contact with me. And you can do that most quickly and easily via the web, and you go to www.ciaops.com/contact. But with that, let's get into the podcast for this episode. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, I'm joined by Amy Babinchek. Amy, welcome.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, as we always do here on the Need to Know podcast, what we'll do is we'll get Amy to firstly introduce herself, let us know what she does and all about her business. So if you could give us a bit of background, that'd be great.
Sure. So I'm in the USA in Michigan, and I own a couple of companies. My MSP, though, is Harbor Computer Services. We've been in business since 2000. We're pretty typical small business focused, you know, IT firm. We're sort of a hybrid MSP, I would say. I tend to be very high touch and consultative with my clients. We're not super big on the remote access tools. I think we've been pretty successful with it. You know, our clients stick with us for a long time. In 2010, Microsoft recognized us as Partner of the Year. And I think we're probably the smallest company that they've ever given that award to. So that's what's kind of made me pretty happy.
Yeah. Imagine a wood getting to, I think you got to stand up there on stage and the partner conference and everything. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It's just really nice to have your work recognized that way.
Excellent. All right. Well, what I've asked Amy to come along and have a chat about today is Azure. So especially with the angle for the SMB resellers, because I know Amy's been successfully implementing Azure and is rolling it more and more into her service offerings, and also beginning to talk to other SMB resellers about the successes that can be obtained with Azure. So I think maybe a bit of background on your journey to Azure. Sort of when did you sort of, I suppose, get Azure and see how it could be used in the offerings and within your business?
Well, you know, I think it sort of grew out of our Office 365 environments. You know, we started using Office 365, you know, back when it was called BPOS. And we used it internally, and then we started to talk to our clients about it, and, you know, have been rolling that out to them over time. And so, you know, when Azure came along, you know, I naturally started to look at it, you know, seeing what is Microsoft doing, where is the future going. You know, we were the small business server shop, and so, you know, we need new things to do with our clients, and how are we going to do that? And so we started to look over into Azure and see what's happening, and quickly realized that it's not a single thing, but it's many, many different things. And it's kind of typical Microsoft. You know, you can make it what you want it to be. So many tools are there. And so our approach to Azure has really been to view it as an add-on to what we're already doing for our clients. I think in all cases right now, our use of Azure is not actually replacing anything that we're doing on-premise. Instead, it's allowing us to add more services to them and make more money from what we're doing with each customer.
So I think in my case, the eureka moment for me was that a lot of the stuff that I was doing was around migrating SharePoint. Now, migrate from 2003 SharePoint up to Office 365 generally meant that you had to do what's called a database swing. So you had to swing it from, 2003 to 2007 to 2010 to 2013 and then up to Office 365, and each one of those required a unique SharePoint environment, and in the later environments it also required a domain controller, so you had to have the SharePoint server plus a domain controller, and that was becoming a bit cumbersome to try and run virtual machines on a single desktop PC to do that. So the eureka moment came for me. It's like, oh, hang on, why can't I put all this in Azure and spin up the Azure machines there and have them basically powered up when I need them, copy the data up there, do the migration, and then shut them down. So that was the need that I had initially, and understood what Azure was, and from there basically work with it more extensively. But mainly the day-to-day stuff I do is around testing and you know, looking at what how to make things work. So it's a great environment. For example, when I do Office 365 demos, I've got an Office 365 demo environment that I've spun up and take and show customers, and things like PowerShell environment as well. So apart from actually the services you can sell and use yourself, I also find it you know, I couldn't do without it when it comes to the testing side of it. So I think there's plenty of option there for SMB, especially SMB resellers, to have a look at. And I think the other thing too, a lot of them maybe don't appreciate is they get, you know, something like $100 worth of credits generally to use every month with Azure.
Right. Yeah, which is plenty of money. You can do a lot with $100 in Azure. So the way that we got started in this was I first moved Harbor Computer Services website into Azure. This was my way of doing something that was, you know, important but not hypercritical, and it let me experiment and learn how to use the portal some, and it was kind of my first, you know, opportunity to really dog food what Azure was all about. So, you know, approaching Azure in the same way that I've approached other apps in the past was really important. Once I got that up there, I then turned to my other company, Third Tier, and we had outgrown our host and needed to move to a more robust system anyway, so it was good timing. I was then able to move the Third Tier website and their server up into Azure, and that gave us you know, a more robust solution that's going to be able to grow with us over time. So, you know, I was able to take the knowledge that I had learned from getting Harbor's website up there and utilize that to get Third Tier's, which was much more demanding, and, you know, do some automatic failover and, you know, redundancy and stuff like that. So sort of a natural growth pattern there. And then recently we took our one of our clients running an e-commerce business and we moved them into Azure. They were running on a physical server that resided in a data center, and they had outgrown that single box and, you know, began to get e-commerce business from around the world, and so it was a 24/7 situation, and we needed to give them a much more robust situation too. And that's gone pretty well. It meant, you know, we did a ton of upgrades all at the same time too, so it's been a big project but really successful, and the client's quite happy with it.
And I think one of the challenges, certainly in the Azure space, especially for the smaller provider generally, is finding, I suppose, the right guidance, the right documentation, you know, sort of where to get started. I mean, what's your experience been with, you know, basically coming up to speed with Azure? I mean, as you say, the one of the biggest challenges is obviously simply the breadth of the product, and that obviously means, you know, a huge amount of documentation, a huge amount of information, and trying to get to, I suppose, a simple solution or how do I do this can be challenging at times. I mean, has that been your experience as well, you know, moving in the direction that you have?
You know, I have put in a lot of time into learning Azure, and at the same time that I'm learning it, I'm putting my staff through it as well. So I have, we sat down together and we went through about 40 hours of Azure training through the Microsoft Virtual Academy. And, you know, honestly, I've also found the documentation in Azure itself to be really good. So when I'm, you know, when I'm in Azure and I'm trying to do something, there's little help, you know, information bobs and help little question marks you can click on, and also a documentation link at the top. And it knows what module you're in Azure, so it actually brings up relevant information. And, you know, years ago, we used to get great documentation from Microsoft on how to do stuff. And recently, I feel like it's kind of slipped. But I think I found all those people. They all went over to Azure and are creating great documentation over there. So,
yeah, I think it's all, like I said, I think the challenging thing probably is more just the sheer volume. I think it is there. And again, because Azure's so many bits and it's, you know, partly developer, partly infrastructure, partly web services, that again, there's not a simple place that if you're an SMB person is going to speak to you as an SMB person. I think that, you know, you're moving into an area like Office 365 where it's such a broad product and has to cover such a wide range. But I think it's again, it's a discipline of working through the free resources that are there and which are fantastic. Like I said, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, Channel 9, the videos there, there's plenty of YouTube stuff. But as you say, like, so I think the documentation is quite good, but you do need to dedicate some time to understanding it. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of hesitancy from traditional SMB resellers is they don't seem to be able to get over that sort of initial barrier. And I think the impetus for me, obviously, was I had a project that I wanted to solve with my SharePoint migrations. You had a project you wanted to solve with your website migration and built it from there. So it would seem to me that the best advice we could probably give SMB resellers is to come up with their own little project and then try and work through that in Azure.
Well, yeah, but and also think of it this way. I mean, Azure is the new Microsoft. You know, if you're an IT reseller right now, you do not know everything about every product that Microsoft makes. And you never will. There's no need for you to know all that information. You only know about the things that you need to know that you typically support for your clients. It's the same way in Azure. I mean, Azure isn't one thing. Azure is so many different pieces. And so, my advice is pick something. And I started with the website because it was the simplest thing I could find in Azure. And it gave me an opportunity to learn how to move around the console and, you know, kind of understand how things are laid out in what was the simplest thing that I could do in Azure. And so, you know, so I recommend starting that way. It worked for me. I think it's a good way to go. But, you know, I'm really visualizing Azure as an add-on to what we're already doing for our customers, right? So we look at all the different things that Azure can do, and as you start to learn about all what it can do, as you're building your first project out, you see what's going on in there, and you got to be thinking to yourself, well, how can my clients use this? Which one of them would get use out of, you know, the backup? Which one would get use out of the site recovery? What about the rights management piece? What about the Azure AD? You know, all these different things. What about storage? What about remote apps? These are all, you can think of them as, you know, in the old ways, if these are all software packages that you could potentially sell to your customers. And as you see them, it starts, gets the wheels turning in your head of, yeah, I think I have some customers that could use that. And so we've been quite successful in just kind of building these hybrid environments of our clients are still doing everything that they were doing on-premise. They're still doing that today. But we found some great things in Azure that we can also be selling to them on top of what they've already got going on.
And I think also, too, the important thing to realize in on the business side is, as you mentioned, is how important or how focused or the direction that Microsoft's taking with Azure. It's, again, one of those central platforms of it, the way that it sees the world out. And it's, again, trying to get as many resellers to, you know, adopt the package. And I think, part of the misconception is it's like an all or nothing. So, you know, the next step from an old SBS install is to move everything into Azure and redo everything that. I think that, again, that's the thing that many resellers are making the mistake where, again, it's a case where you can dip your toe into it, you can do your website, you can do your backup, you can do your Hyper-V site recovery and step into it and grow with the product. So it's not, again, it's not an all or nothing sort of environment, which, again, I've seen before with the Office 365 and the BPOS thing was very much, you know, perhaps it was a poor messaging on Microsoft's part initially that, you know, it was all the cloud or nothing. But I think it's Microsoft has very much changed to an environment where it's, you know, again, recommending the hybrid, recommending the stepped approach. But certainly in the long run, the move to more and more Azure services is the way to go. But it's not something that you have to do immediately for all your customers. And that's probably where people are feeling a bit intimidated and feeling that, the, you know, that they're stumbling to try and get started.
Yeah. So can I tell you about some of the things that we are doing in Azure with our clients? And I can maybe give a few examples and might get wheels turning for some folks of what
Yeah, I think that's probably the best idea is get them to see exactly what you're doing, how you're doing it, and I suppose, you know, what are the appeal, what's the appeal for the customers that you're working with?
Yeah, right. So I already mentioned websites, right? You got to host your client's website somewhere. Why not Azure? It's going to be the same ballpark price. So that's a kind of a no-brainer. But then, so Azure Backup is another really great thing that you can add on to what you're doing for your clients now. Now, the interesting thing about Azure Backup is I'm using the file and folders part of it. So it'll back up virtual machines, but it will also do files and folders. And, and your first thought is like, well, why would I want to do that when I'm using StorageCraft and I'm backing up a whole images? Well, I looked around and said, okay, business is getting more mobile, and things are ending up on laptops that are only on those laptops. Also, the advent of ransomware makes this really critical as well, that we've got the synchronization of files happening on laptops. And if those laptops were to get a ransomware, those files would become encrypted, and then guess what? They would sync up into their Office 365 OneDrive environment, or into their share file, or into their Dropbox, or wherever they're actually stored. And in that case, then I've got a whole bunch of encrypted files up in the cloud, and now I have to restore those somehow. And yes, those cloud applications do have built-in ways for you to restore them, but it's a one-by-one file thing. So what I would rather have the option to do, and that we're talking to our clients about, is to install Azure Backup on their laptop, have it back up the cached copy of that data that they have locally there, and then if the worst should occur and they lose a file or they get a ransomware, we don't have to go in the cloud and revert to the previous version one by one for thousands of files. It's just going to be hours and hours and hours. I can restore that Azure Backup, from earlier in the morning or yesterday or whenever it is, and then all my unencrypted files will now sync up into the cloud, and I'm done. So it's kind of a nice little insurance policy.
And the way the way that I've done it to get used to it is I use it to back up family machines. So, members of the family who obviously don't care about backups and don't do backups, I can put this tool on there, and then, obviously the first ones are a rather large backup. But then after that, the deltas, because that's all it's backing up, are, really, really small and happen really, really quickly. So that way, again, like you said, you can make sure that you capture the photos, the files, all that sort of stuff, without necessarily having to worry about physically being there and making sure the backup actually runs and the hard disk is plugged in and all that sort of stuff. So again, and I think the other thing to appreciate is that A, you only pay for data coming out of Azure. You're not paying for data going into Azure. So as long as you're backing up into Azure, there's effectively no cost. And the storage is just pennies on the dollar. So that's the other side of the coin, is you can back up gigs and gigs and gigs of data for a very, very small price.
Yeah, it really is very inexpensive. We had a customer compare it with with another solution that they were using, and it came in actually less. And so they made the switch over, and they rolled it out to more of their machines in the office, and it's been working out really well. So that's one of the ways that we're using Azure Backup. It's just something that's easy to do in Azure, some data that you may not be capturing for your customers today that, it's a nice way to kind of dip their toe into the idea of using Azure and get more familiar with it, and it's not a foreign concept, so that as things evolve over time, they're on the path, right? They've begun the walk toward moving things up into Azure in the cloud. Ultimately, they know that that is where we all end up. I think everyone agrees that it all goes to the cloud eventually. What that eventually time frame is different for different kinds of customers, but that's the future of IT, so this is a way to get started. Another of the Azure components that we're using is site recovery. So backup and site recovery are kind of related in Azure, and you'll find the site recovery, what it does is allow you to take your virtual machines, which are residing on-premise, and replicate them up into Azure. And this has been an extremely easy sell to our customers, and also it's quite inexpensive. So it's, in fact, I'll tell you, your Australian pricing is going to be different, and it's different in different markets. But in the U.S., it's $54 per machine plus the storage, which is 2.5 cents a gigabyte in the U.S. So a really, really inexpensive solution to implement. And how you do this is you have to be running 2012 R2 on your virtual parent, but you install this Azure Site Recovery on the virtual parent. It's right inside a Hyper-V, and you say, you know, you enable the Hyper-V replication. I'm going to replicate to Azure. And that machine replicates itself up into Azure as frequently as every 30 seconds. So it's 30 seconds, 5 minutes, or 15 minutes are your choices for replication times. And like you said, that first one takes forever to get up there, quite a long time, based on the bandwidth that your customer has. But then after that, it's just those change deltas. And what you have on the Azure side is a virtual machine sitting there in an off state that's not costing you anything except for storage. It's just kind of sitting there in storage. And then you've got some tools to be able to test it, which again is a very minimal cost. They're not charging you for virtual machine fees to do that. Only when it goes into production, so they actually, at that point, then you're paying for to run the virtual machine. But prior to that, they've got a great testing scenario, and it just sits off there in an off state, and it's another insurance policy for your clients that are concerned about their business continuity, because you could turn that virtual machine on, connect a site-to-site VPN or a point VPN to clients direct in, and they can access that virtual machine that's running. It's a really great solution.
Yeah, I think the big change came a number of probably a year or maybe 9 months ago, when to do Azure Site Recovery you required System Center Enterprise to do it, and Microsoft removed that need so that now you can do it without having to have that sort of management software. So again, I think the message is that one of the things we're seeing with Azure, along with Office 365, is just how rapidly it's changing, how rapidly it is actually scaling down to be able to provide SMB style solutions as well. So again,
that was a big win for SMB, because you're exactly right. When it first came out, you had to have System Center. It was a lot of stuff, and I saw it, and I was actually on an early trial with that, and I don't use System Center, and they were trying to recruit me into this trial, and I was excited, and then they're like, okay, so you need the System Center. I'm like, I don't use System Center. And they said, oh, actually we're hearing that quite a bit from our smaller customers. I'm like, yeah, and we're never going to use it, so we have to have something else. And they came out with this agent model, which is just fantastic. So that was a win. We haven't had very many wins with Microsoft and SMB in a while, so this is a big one. We really need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too. I think that perhaps part of it is the more SMB-style people that use it and then, request these features or, use it in a slightly different way from the enterprise folks, certainly gets Microsoft's, attention. So I think that again, is sort of a chicken and egg sort of scenario. But I'm certainly seeing more and more application of the features being available to SMB. So another good example is with Azure AD and Office 365, you can now do branding, you can now do a self-service password portal reset. So a lot of the features that used to be part of Azure AD Premium are now making their way free into Azure AD with Office 365. So I think that we'll see more and more of this over time as more and more people do adopt it. But again, as Amy mentioned, it's a matter of like getting in there, starting to use it, picking the easy workloads, the low-hanging fruit, and start using it yourself in your own business, and then looking for the opportunities with other clients. So apart from the websites, the backup, the site recovery stuff, what else are you finding that's beginning to work with clients?
Well, we're starting to extend our Office 365 environments into Azure. And, you know, just for the reason that you mentioned, that the Azure Active Directory features are becoming a lot more interesting. We're really starting to take advantage of the rights management tools. So rights management has a free side to it, which anybody can download and use. If you guys haven't seen that, go out to the portal. It's aadrm.com. It's where the you'll find all about the rights management stuff there. It allows you to control what happens to your outgoing data for your business, and also data at rest, and also data in SharePoint and OneDrive. So it's really pretty powerful stuff. So you can get acknowledgments for what happened to your data when you send it to somebody. Did they send it to someone else? You can prevent that from happening. We use it internally at Harbor to send our quotes out. I've got a template that says, when my quotes go out to a customer, expire that quote after 30 days so they can no longer open that. And it's just a little thing. It helped us introduce our clients to rights management. It also helped us in a way, because it keeps our customers from opening a quote that's 6 months old and sending us a check, and now the price has changed and the model's not available anymore, and, you know, kind of keeps us out of those messes. So we found a use for it, but it also, the clients, and they get it and say, hey, this document is protected by rights management, gives us an opportunity to tell them about rights management, show them how it works and what it can do, and these wheels start turning in their head, and they think of reasons to do it. And if they're on Office 365, the rights management is extended a little bit in rights in Office 365, and that we can start to apply templates and pre-configure some things into Outlook for them so that they're ready to go with a click. And it's, you know, we've garnered some consulting time. We've brought new services to them that they would not have discovered on their own, and really showing our value as their consulting IT partner.
And I think, again, one of the things that obviously Microsoft's keen on, and something that I think that people should explore, is the Enterprise Mobility Suite, so the EMS stuff. So the EMS stuff includes Azure AD Premium, Microsoft Intune, Rights Management, and now also includes the Advanced Threat Analytics. So, again, smarter ways with dealing with stuff like ransomware and those sort of emails as well. So that's obviously an add-on, but, again, that certainly brings a lot of value when you look at things. What Azure AD Premium can bring, Microsoft Intune, and the rights manager you were talking about. So, again, I think that a lot of it is that, as you say, is that resellers need to be across some of this stuff. They need to be aware of it so they can present it to their customers, because the customers will never know and probably never see it. But in a lot of cases, things like rights management can be very enticing. Things in Office 365, for example, like legal hold to retain the messages basically forever, is another thing that I don't see a lot of resellers promoting. I see that, unfortunately, most of them seem to be locked in this world of simply moving email from one storage location to another, and maybe moving files from, you know, a file share into a single document library in SharePoint, and not adding a lot of value. So I think the new tools are there, and everybody sort of needs to step up and make sure that they're skilled in these sort of components.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you've got in Office 365 is effectively unlimited mailboxes, because you have an archiving, which comes with it too. So you can archive your data away, still keep people in a really fast mailbox. They still have access to their archive at any time. It's just right in their Outlook. They can see it when they need it. So you haven't taken away anything, but you've given them a much better performing mailbox. And you've really gotten rid of that 50 gig limit, because the archive itself, I don't even think that has a limit. So it's a time limit, and you've now got unlimited size mailboxes, just really.
Well, I think, again, like I said, I think that there are so many features when you look at Office 365, and even just email, but beyond that, you've got, you know, things like Yammer, you've got Delve, you've got Skype for Business, which I don't see implemented particularly, you know, widely. So again, there's all these features and all these opportunities to go and talk to the customer and build a business model and help build business consulting. And even if the customer doesn't necessarily want or need that immediately, you're better off making sure that you show them that, so that when they do need it or they have that requirement, they can come to you. And the example that I use at the moment is Power BI. So Power BI is a free add-on. It's a free license, but again, it's a really, really powerful way to visualize data, especially from spreadsheets. So it's very important, I think, that resellers at least have some understanding of what that does as a product, so they can show their customers and get them interested potentially in it, but make sure that somebody else can't walk in and dazzle them with basically what is a free product. So I think, again, the challenge is with all of this stuff is there's so much to be across, there's so much to have a look at, but I think there are some basics, like you've mentioned, like getting into the website with Azure, the backup, the site recovery, looking at something like EMS to get started. But there are also things for me, like I said, the testing component, the virtual machines, the virtual networking, again, that takes infrastructure services that people from the SBS world are very familiar with, the skill sets that they have around TCP IP, DNS, routing, all that sort of stuff, and that translates pretty much directly into a product like Azure. So with all this stuff that you've done at the moment, sort of where do you see the next steps that you're going to make with your business and your customers in the Azure world?
Well, our next steps are really to roll out that enterprise mobility suite. There's a couple of powerful things, right? We're going to get additional features in rights management, which is something that we've already talked to our customers about, and they're beginning to use the free version of that, so now we can move them up a level in it. But that Enterprise Mobility Suite, besides the things that you mentioned, there's also two-factor authentication in there, and there's that single sign-on portal, which I think is a really neat idea, because with the cloud and so many cloud apps out there, not all of your apps are going to be Microsoft. The single sign-on portal lets you log in once, and now the Azure AD is going to keep track of your credentials for your Dropbox, for your Salesforce, and about, I don't know, 500 or so other applications that they've got in there.
It's actually 2,500.
2,500, okay.
Yeah, it's an amazing amount of applications, and certainly you get a free component with that, with Office 365, limited to, I think, about 10 applications, but again, when you get Azure AD Premium, then you get the step up and you get all these additional features. And one of the other things you get with Azure AD Premium is what's called Cloud App Discovery. So that gives you the ability to go and put an agent on all the machines in an environment, and it will then report back to a central console as to what web-based applications are being used. So where, you know, I've seen this used or used it myself is when we've done a discovery on a business who believes they're not sharing anything externally, and turns out that every machine has Dropbox on it and they're sharing 19 gigs worth of data. So again, you know, these are all the features that are available, single sign-on portal, like I said, the cloud app discovery, all of this stuff is available for people to use, and again, can create some really great IP around that you can charge for.
Yeah, it's all encompassed into that enterprise mobility suite, which I think is the better value. It's only like $2 more for the entire suite as opposed to buying the Azure Premium by itself. So it's a phenomenal value. So that's the next big thing for us. It's kind of staying on that same theme of what can we sell to our clients today. Our clients do not have to be ready to go to the cloud in order for us to start to introduce them to these new things. So we don't have to wait for that magical day when our client says, "Hey, I want to be in the cloud." We can start to do it right now. The other thing that I think we're going to be looking at next is probably the Azure Files. So we can do, I was reading now that we can do an SMB connection to an Azure file storage. So I could have a drive letter sitting on my server, and that contents inside that drive letter is actually up in Azure. Looking at the pricing that Microsoft is charging for their storage, I don't think that I can actually sell my clients the same amount of storage on-premise for less. And so that's kind of going to be my sales pitch to them, is we can keep the server on locally, but some of this data, we should probably move it to the cloud. This is one case where the cloud is not always cheaper, but I think this is one case where the cloud is actually going to be less expensive for us to store certain types of data up there.
Yeah, and I think the secret to it, I suppose, is to look at it as another product. I think look at it that you don't have to be across all of it immediately. Again, start with the low-hanging fruit. Backup's a really good option. Websites are easy, and then, you know, scale up the knowledge from there. So I think that it's a very, like I said, as we said, a very intimidating environment, just given the volume of information. But on the other side, that does mean that there are lots and lots of opportunity, lots and lots of tools that you can start incorporating and working with customers, even at the most basic level, and again, even inside your own business. So, you know, that $100 worth of credits really is going to give you that opportunity. Microsoft's making it easy as possible to do that, and even simple things like just backing up your local workstations or your home, you know, your family PCs with Azure Backup's going to get you started. So I think that would seem to be the message that we're talking to people about, or trying to get across to people, is they just need to basically get started and not be so worried about trying to be across the, you know, the whole breadth of the product. And it gives them also an opportunity, maybe if they're keen on doing development, or maybe SQL, or maybe mobile services, that they can also, you know, expand into those areas if they choose. So I think, again, that's the big thing that it's offering, is sort of that flexibility, that smorgasbord of choice now, that can give a reseller who may be, you know, looking to move their model or change their model into something different, it gives them that opportunity. They don't have to throw away what they're doing, but they can certainly add more options to their environment. So the resellers that you speak to about Azure and your journey here, I mean, what's the reception that you're getting? Are they generally, you know, is it eye-opening for them? Are they, you know, okay, now I'll go and embrace it? Or is there still that resistance, are you finding, for whatever reason, to getting into the product?
I think that there's an eye-opening when I start to talk about these specific items that you and I talked about today, because the perception is what you just said. The perception is that Azure's a place where I can host my virtual machines, and I just need to move my client servers into Azure, and they'll be hosted there instead of on-premise. And that's not at all what Azure is. And so when you actually start digging in and saying, well, here's what I'm doing with Azure, their eyes open, and they're like, oh, yeah, I could sell that to some of my clients. Some of them really have a need for these features, and I can't provide that through on-premise solutions. So, you know, the whole idea that you don't have to change what you're doing on-premise in order to take advantage of Azure and help move your clients and keep them ahead of their competition, keep them on advancing technology, it's been an eye-opener for the groups that I've spoken to.
And I also think, too, one of the big changes we're seeing with clients is that flexibility and agility is so important now. So, like I said, you know, they need to run up one e-commerce server for 2 weeks, or they need a website to do this one thing, or they need this, you know, this one area backed up, or this one server running SQL for a short period of time. And basically to go through that sort of scaling up on-premises just is too difficult to do, too expensive, and basically, you know, again, just takes too long to actually deploy. Where again, Azure gives you that that flexibility to be able to go out and provide, you know, provide those services, you know, quickly and easily and pay for them on demand. And then if you don't need them, obviously for a time period, you can shut them down, turn them off, delete them, and you basically only pay for what you pay for what you use. Sort of another question is how do you see the model here around making money? I mean, obviously the Office 365 model, there is some sort of commission structure, which is, you know, relatively low, and I generally don't recommend people look at that as an option. Azure doesn't have that. It has an open option where you can obviously buy tokens and resell those to the clients, but again, it's all very commoditized, moving towards a very cheap environment provided by people like AWS and Microsoft. So is really the option for the reseller to build the services and their own IP around this rather than worrying about, you know, reselling a subscription? Is that really the model that we're looking at going forward?
Well, I think you have to do both, right? So we sell it, they're called Azure tokens in open. And the way that works is each token is worth $100, but we buy them from Microsoft for like $86, depending on which promotions they have going on right now. But that's around what the cost is to us right now. And so you make a little bit of money from that. You know, your client pays $100, you make a little, you buy it for less, just like you do with your other products over the years. So you still have that portion, but it's really about providing the value, and this business is turning into much more of a consultative, ongoing consulting. You know, it's about continually teaching your clients new things that they can do, demonstrating new features, building that relationship level so that you can continue to bring value to their company, and you charge for that value that you're bringing. And that's the transition. You know, before we installed a server, say we installed an SBS server, we charged them for monthly maintenance and maintaining of that server. With these services, you do still have a certain amount of monthly maintenance and maintaining. Not that you are doing updates and such, but you are adding new users, you're adding new features, you're showing them how to use them, you're getting them installed on their laptops, the agents and such, populating the portal, checking to see that the backup is still running, making sure that Hyper-V replication is still doing what you said it would do. So you still have all of those components that you can, you know, that you can build into a service package for your clients. It's different, you know, than what you were doing in the past, but yet it's still kind of the same. You know, you're still working with your client to bring value. You've got some background tasks, but you've got a lot more hands-on working with the individual users in the clients, I think, than a lot of people were doing in the past.
Okay, so as we're getting towards the end of our discussion here, I think one of the other big challenges I hear from resellers and Office 365, but even more so in Azure, is how do you stay up to date? How do you know what's going on? What are the changes? What are the new features that are available? You know, the training, the options. How do I stay across this sort of product and, you know, make sure that I've got the information that I need, that I can learn as efficiently as I can, that I can pass that on to my clients? I mean, what's your sort of recommendation for resources or ways to obviously get into Azure and start learning this stuff, but also keep across, you know, all the changes that are happening in this sort of product?
It is hard to keep up with, because the stream of new things being continually added into Azure is just a fire hose. It really is. So the best way to keep up, I find, is to keep an eye on their blog. And I have never been a person to RSS feed blogs into my computer to keep track of, but I do that with the Azure blogs, the first one I've ever done it with. And that I'll skim over it. You know, there'll be a lot of developer stuff, but then you'll see, they'll also be information that they'll put out about once a week of, you know, what's new in Azure, and they'll have the new releases, and they'll have it broken down into features. So they'll, you know, if there's something new about Azure AD, there'll be a little couple paragraphs on it. And also in Yammer, the Azure groups in Yammer are a great way to stay up on it as well. I have those pushed to me, to my inbox, because I'm a very Outlook-centric person. So those get pushed to my inbox. And again, I'm mainly looking for those summary emails. And when something catches my eye, then I'll dig into it a little further. That's kind of the best way that I've found to keep up.
Yeah, I mean, again, one of the things, for example, they announced recently was the Azure AD Domain Services has now gone public preview. So this is going to give you things like group policy, basically, through Azure AD. Again, I think that's going to be one of the game changers, again, when you combine it with, like, Windows 10. And again, unfortunately, there's not a single location to bring a lot of this across. For my own, I suppose, keeping up to date, for me, is a lot of it's around social media, is around their Twitter accounts, which is probably reposted from their blogs as well. So again, there's always a keen set of blogs and items which we'll put in the show notes that you can keep up to date with. But a lot of it, again, is there's so much more information to keep across. The other thing I would suggest is that it makes sense now more than ever to start buddying up with other people, to work with others, to follow key people in the industry who are doing this sort of stuff, and basically take the information from them that they produce, and also look to ask them questions. So again, you know, the there are people out there. Find the key people, follow them. Again, ask them questions, but again, start working within a group. You don't necessarily have to do everything in Azure yourself, but to make sure that you cover the bases, it's probably a good idea to start looking to partner up with other people in your space to be able to bring the full set of resources. So again, if you're doing web development, you can obviously do the hosting perhaps in Azure AD, but then maybe you need to buddy up with someone who is doing, you know, WordPress development as well, to be able to bring that to the customer. So I think now more than ever, it's a case of you can no longer do everything. You need to do it smarter, but you also need to involve people outside your organization as part of your team and build that trust relationship up and work with them. So that's certainly the way I would see things going. Now, given that we're fast approaching the end of our time here with Amy, what I'll get Amy to do is maybe just give us an overall summary of what we've talked about today and some recommendations for those listening who may not have looked at Azure in any depth but are now keen to get in and have a bit of a play. So once you've done that, Amy, if you can also let us know how we can get in contact with you, keep up to date with what you're doing, follow what's going on, that'd be great. So if you can give us that info, that'd be good.
Sure. So when you're approaching Azure, I would approach it just as you have done with other software packages, and make sure that you're thinking about Azure as a whole suite of things. It's not a single product. Azure is the new Microsoft. Everything that Microsoft does will eventually be inside of Azure. So just as today you don't know about every single thing that Microsoft does, you will never know every single thing that Azure does, but that's okay. You know, find something that interests you in Azure. We've given a lot of examples today. My entry into Azure was websites, because I found it was the simplest and way for me to get into Azure and learn the console and understand kind of the format and pricing and, you know, subscriptions. And it just kind of gets you into all the different pieces. And then from there, I moved along into backup and site recovery and Azure AD, rights management, the Enterprise Mobility Suite, and I think that we'll continue to add on these things to our clients. So it's not about replacing what they're doing with something in Azure. It's about adding on to what we're already doing, moving into the cloud in baby steps, continually giving our clients more and more reason to do business with us, because we're helping them be more cutting edge, stay ahead of their competition, and get more value out of their IT than they would without us. That's really what the key is. That's why customers keep us around. So if you would like to get in touch with me, you can reach me probably best through my other business, which is Third Tier. Third Tier provides advanced support to IT folks. We also do a bunch of free things as well. We've got a newsletter, and we do a couple webinars a month, and we've got a chat that goes on, and we also help you guys when you run into problems. So we've got some great people over there that provide help desk to IT pros, not to individuals. So we're here to help you get through any problems you get stuck on. But you can reach me over there at amy@thirdtier.net, and I'm happy to answer any questions or talk to you a little more about Azure.
Cool.
I would also, you know, here's another one more little piece of advice. If you haven't looked in your action pack in a long time, now's a good time to go over there and look. The cloud has come to Action Pack, and it is packed full of opportunities for free software coming down through Office 365 and Azure. All the different pieces that we talked about are there, and you've got free money to work with, basically, and free software.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think, you know, Microsoft certainly does provide a full range of tools for resellers, whether it's the Action Pack, Virtual Academy, the recordings of things like the Ignite event from this, you know, recent May. It's just amazing what is out there. Again, unfortunately, it's a bit of a fire hose, but a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, you certainly can find all that information, basically, for what you're after. And then, you know, my advice generally is make sure that you start working smarter and accumulating those resources so that you can, you know, fall back on them as required. So again, just don't do them and forget them. Make sure that you do them, put them away somewhere so that you can go turn back to them if you need to. So I think with that, we'll call our podcast to an end. I'll thank Amy very much for her time and her insight. I know it's obviously a bit later over there in the US than it is here, so I appreciate her taking the time out. And again, I think there's been a great deal of helpful information for resellers, given her journey and the options and the opportunities that Azure does present. So for those of you who do want to contact me in any way, you can do so on the Twitter at DirectorCIA. And I think with that, we'll call this podcast to an end, and I'll thank everybody for listening.
You've been listening to the Need to Know podcast with Robert Crane from CIA Ops. For guides on using technologies like SharePoint and Office 365, visit www.ciaops.com/publications. You can directly support this podcast by purchasing guides from the selection available. You'll also find templates there to use on your own SharePoint site to help your business get up to speed quickly. Reseller options are also available. All of this can be downloaded immediately from www.ciaops.com/publications. To provide feedback on this episode or to make any comments, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.